Welcome to the Wildly Balanced Podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
Welcome back, Jill.
Welcome back, Carly, and our listeners. How have you been, traveling queen over there?
I've been good. I still got a little bit of a cough, but COVID's no longer a thing. For anyone who didn't know, I had COVID 2 weeks ago now. So that's why we skipped that week. And then Jill had some shit going on last week. So it's been a mess, but we're back.
Been a mess. Well, Jerry got sick and then it was just like trying to do everything. It's crazy like how much like before a relationship I did and all by myself. But then like when you are in a relationship, you like start to rely on other people to like take on half the stuff. And then like when he was like down for the count, cause he was just basically sleeping all day. He'd like wake up and shower. Cause it just was like the only thing that kept him like human. So he'd take like 4 showers a day, but then like go back to sleep. So like, I was just like cooking, cleaning, taking the dog, like doing everything and then working. I was just like exhausted, like so spent, because like I'm not used to having to do everything, because usually he's there to take half the responsibilities and stuff. So it was just a crazy week, but I never got sick, so suck it. I'm just kidding.
Not gonna
him. No, I know, thankfully. I still feel good. I think it was, yeah, I don't know what, we still don't know what he has or what he had. They just were like, well, it's not COVID. And it's not
what strep. Else is there though? Just COVID.
Yeah, exactly. It's all
the only illness that's around right now.
Exactly. But
that's good.
We'll see. So I don't know, some virus. He like couldn't take any medicine either. He was given like ibuprofen. It was just like the doc's like, good luck.
Damn.
Take this 3 times a day and try to hope it reduces your fever, but like have fun and try to swallow things when you can. Like, I don't know. It was a mess. Like, I was like really glad I never got it, because sore throats are like the worst illness, I think. The worst.
Dang. Well, I'm glad he's feeling better.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a fun little welcome gift to New Zealand. Because if you guys didn't know, I'm no longer in Bali. I've been in New Zealand for a couple weeks. And as soon as I got here, it was like, hi, welcome. Here's some COVID. But we're good. We're doing better.
Welcome. Here's COVID. Yeah, basically. But yeah.
Thanks, good. Airport. Anyways, as a super special treat, welcome back episode, we've got an amazing guest today. We've got the amazing Jessica Esfandiary. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah, Esfandiary.
Nice. She is a host of the Open Late podcast. Do you want to tell us about the podcast, Jill?
Sure. The podcast is a deep dive into all things relationships. Explore the multifaceted, frequently misunderstood dynamics of polyamory and what being open even means, which is like so interesting, because I feel like there's such a stigma to it. So like hearing more about it is just always makes me like so interested to learn more. But yeah, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for having me. It's good to be here. And it's exciting to hear what's going on in your lives too. I had no idea you just had COVID, Carly. Yeah. I've actually had COVID 3 times, believe it or not. It's like every time Dang. It becomes available, I'm like, oh, sign me up.
Oh no.
Every season. But it's likely because I had the very first, like the first one before it was really like a thing.
You got COVID before it was cool.
I got COVID before it was cool. Yeah. I had COVID in March of 2020. So
oh, wow.
before LA was ever even on any kind of lockdown or restrictions. Yeah. I got COVID with like my whole kind of fam, my like LA crew. And so we always joke that like, we'll be
talking about a trendsetter. Damn.
Seriously. I mean, it was scary back then, of course, because nobody knew what it was, and the effects and the numbers seemed so drastic and it seemed really, you know, intense. But in an interesting way, I've always been kind of grateful because I got it so early, and, you know, it was like a really bad flu. Like it sucked. But once I had it, then I was like way less fearful about it, because I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to be immune for probably like 8 months. And then I felt a little bit, you know, more relaxed about how I could live my life as opposed to like being really afraid that you're going to get this thing. So I've always kind of felt lucky about that.
That's awesome. I'm glad you survived it the first time.
Yeah, me too. Here to tell the tale.
Antibodies.
Yeah, grew the antibodies. Definitely didn't have any sense of taste or smell for like 10 days. That's how I knew it was actually COVID, because all my other symptoms were so mild. The first time I had it, I don't think I would have actually known that I had it because I didn't really have anything else. But yeah, you're in New Zealand. They were super strict about COVID. Mm-hmm. I actually had a friend who moved there just before because she married a Kiwi. And yeah, they were one of the countries that was like, they were like, no traveling, no anything, no leaving your home. Yeah. I mean, everybody's done it differently. So it's interesting to watch the world play out, how everyone sort of takes their precautions and, you know, how the people react to it and all of that stuff. Everyone has their own like version of COVID reality.
Totally. Totally. I know I was joking with Jill while I had it and I was like, I can single-handedly shut down the country if I wanted to. Just having COVID.
Yeah.
But it was good.
I was like, the super spreader Canadian Carly just shuts down New Zealand. That's the next
headline.
Oh my God.
It's also so interesting how like COVID affects people so differently. Like Chad and I had it together the first time. Luckily he didn't get it this time. So he was able to take care of me. And like the first time we got it, I was just like bedridden and out for like the entire 10 days. And he lost his taste. And had like a headache for one day and that was it. And then I don't know if Jill wants to get into it, but like Jill had an experience with COVID.
Yeah, I was hospitalized for 7 weeks with COVID. And my partner Jerry like had it and was like 3 days and like better. So it was just crazy how, yeah, it was, we got the Delta, like the bad one. Like everyone's like, that was the worst variant of it. Mm-hmm. And like everyone, it was, yeah. It was not fun. 0 out of 10, don't recommend. Yeah. But we haven't had it again, so that's nice. But I know it's like just a matter of time because I feel like everyone's getting it like multiple times now because it's just coming back in different types and other viruses and everything is just, that's why I was like really glad that I was surprised I didn't get sick when he got sick. And I was just kind of glad that it was just him last week and not me. Because usually like when he gets sick, it's like, or we get sick, it's like, you know, I'm sure with you guys like too, and your partners, like it's like 1 or 2 days and then the next one gets sick because it's like you share a space, like you really can't get rid of that, you know, aspect. But yeah, it was not fun. Don't want it again. So hopefully just stay in it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just crazy how it just affects everybody so differently too. And it's like everything is so different.
Yeah, that's so true. We all have our own COVID reality, but damn, that's a long time to be in the hospital. I'm so glad you're okay.
Thanks. Yeah, it was like 4 weeks in the ICU, two weeks in like the step down and then a week of rehabilitation and then home. I probably should have like been in rehabilitation for like another week, but I was just so done. I was like, sign me out. Like I can walk enough, like get me home.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're insured. I was like, I don't care what my insurance covers at this point. Like, just get me home. Like, I just don't want to be in a hospital bed any longer. Like I want to be home showering, not having to like shower with like someone's supervision anymore. Like it's just been like, it was like 47 days before I could even shower. Like it was just a rough time. Like I don't recommend hospital stays to anybody. Like, I don't know how people who have to do that shit like all the time. It's just, it's crazy. But yeah. it was an experience for sure.
That's so interesting hearing your experience. I've been hospitalized like a few times in my life. And there have been twice where I've literally signed out AMA, which is against medical advice, because I was going bananas. And in both of those cases, it was like, I was on like day 5. I cannot imagine being on like day 50. And I'm like giggling because it makes me so uncomfortable to think of being there. Cause I have like literally gotten up and been like, you're gonna have to take this tube out because like, I cannot be here.
It was
like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, we gotta go. Cause I'm gonna lose my mind in here. And then I'll need to be in like a different part of the hospital.
Right. And like, it's crazy. Like like I tried so hard to just be like, I want to leave, but like I was, the ICU is what got me, because if like I just lost all my ability to like walk and everything from being like, I was in a medically induced coma for a while too, and like everything, so I couldn't like physically move for like, you know, until I went to the rehab and like they got me up and stuff. But it was, yeah, I get that, because like I was at the point where like trying to like pull out my feeding tube and like I just wanted to like leave, and like it's not a fun place to be, like obviously, like no one wants to be there, but yeah, it's just, it's tough, it is. So it was not fun, and I was just ready to that. Yeah, that's why like week 7 came around, and when I was able to like do stuff on my own and like eat and not be hooked up to any machines, I was like, hey, I'm good. Like, sign me out. I can walk. Tell me what I need to do to leave. Like, I literally asked the like physical therapist, like, tell me what I need to do to leave. And he's like, well, you need to like pass these tests. I was like, do them for me right now. Like, I'll do them right now. And he's like, okay. And I did it all. And I'm like, okay. Like, I was a little unstable, obviously, because I was just learning. And it's just like, but I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I'm positive. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, sign me out. Get me out of here. So yeah, it was the worst, but I'm happy that I have my life. But yeah, it was just not fun. But this is about you, not me. So I mean, we on to
it's all good.
Yeah, so tell us, I think too, I just want to hear more about, you know, what you're, I want to hear more about your podcast a little bit too, because I'm very fascinated, and then just a little bit more about, you know, your, the dynamics of polyamory and all of that stuff with you.
Yeah, so I think for people listening, if they've never heard anything about open relationships before, I was once in your shoes. I never actually intended to be in an open relationship. It wasn't something that was premeditated. It sort of like happened by chance. So I was always in monogamous relationships. There wasn't really much else outside of that box that I ever thought my future would have. And I had like probably 3 or 4, I think 3 actually, like long-term serious boyfriends in my life before I met my husband. I had like my high school boyfriend, my college boyfriend, and my post-college boyfriend. And my, in my post-college relationship, it was actually a pretty, it was a very unhealthy relationship, we'll just say that. And we were together for about 3 years. There was like a lot of infidelity on his part. There was a lot of just like secrecy and lies. And I didn't really know any of it until the very end. And once I sort of found out this whole like double life sort of secret thing that was like happening behind my back, I just felt this huge sigh of relief, because I knew I wasn't happy in that relationship, but I didn't really realize it because I was so in it, you know, and I think I was like 26 or 27 at the time. And I met my husband around the time of that breakup. And he was actually like somebody that I started hooking up with like no intention of actually like having a relationship with, but it definitely evolved into that. And so we started in like a very monogamous fashion. In the beginning, it was like casual, but then moved into like relationship status. We never like, you know, you don't talk about these things like, oh, what kind of relationship do you want to be in? Especially 10 years ago, do you want to be in a monogamous relationship, or do you want to like, whatever? It wasn't on the scope of either of our radar. We just like started dating casually. Then it was like, we both have feelings. We're going to be together. Okay. Like now we're in a committed relationship.
This is the only thing we can be is monogamous.
Yeah. Right.
Monogamous or not together.
Yeah. It's like there is no, there's like, you know, A is together and monogamous, B is like single and dating, and there's no C, D, E, anything. So that's the like pretense that we got together under. And we had like amazing sex from the get-go. It wasn't anything that I really ever experienced before with like a previous boyfriend or fling, if I had like a few of those in between boyfriends. And it was like pretty adventurous in ways that I was really excited about and looking for, because my previous relationship was very much the opposite. Like towards the end of our relationship, if we had sex like once a month, that was like a lot. And so when I met Pasha, it was like very adventurous, kind of like checking all these boxes that I like wanted to explore. And I knew deep down that I was like wanting to be more sexually adventurous, but I never called it to the table. and we had an accidental threesome. So this is like the whole foundation of us being open was an unplanned threesome that happened with like a friend of mine, you know, one night, and it was amazing. And it like brought up a lot of like different questions and fears and this and that. But at the end of the day, it was like this one cool thing that happened. And I was like, can't believe that happened. I've been attracted to women like my whole life, but I've never talked to anybody about it. Never told a partner. I've never acted on it. And I was in like a lot of situations, you know, in college and this and that where I could have, and I would get like totally scared and like leave the situation. Like I would like run out of the room. And so one thing led to another and we like talked about it and it was like, well, that was fun. And he's like, yeah, it was obviously a lot of fun. Is that something like you want to do again? I was like, yeah, kind of. And so we sort of stepped into this like monogamish version of our relationship very lightly. And we had like other experiences with her, then maybe other women here and there. And then that sort of bled into us experimenting for the first time. I think it was Burning Man that we went to. So we went to Burning Man back in like, I don't know, 2013 or 14 was like the first time I ever went. And they have this thing at Burning Man called the Orgy Dome. And I'd heard about it and I'm like, oh my God, like, are we going to go to this thing? And they have like, there's like multiple areas. There's like a side that's like just you and your partner or like whoever you go in with. And then that like no one can approach you, but you're like in a space where other people are hooking up. And then there's this other side that's like, it's like, you can approach people and like ask to join them or like, you know, people can come up to you. It's like a whole mingling thing. And there's like, you know, sex happening. And I was like, I remember being so worried. I'm like, we can only go on the one side where like no one can come up to us. So we went in there and I remember like it being so hot. I'm like, there's people having sex like all around us and you can hear it and you can see it. And I was super turned on by that. And then like, the next time that like maybe like a night later, two nights later, we went back and I was like, I want to go on the other side. And so I had my first experience actually with a couple, with a man and a woman, and like basically having like a threesome with them kind of, which was like super hot. And then also like Pasha was kind of involved, but more or less like letting me do my thing. And that was like my next experience in that realm, which like, you know, being with other people who have other partners and like a multiple partner situation. And at this point, I'm still like not thinking my relationship's going to be open. I'm like, we have these crazy, fun, wild experiences. And then we like put it in the box, you know, this is like this thing we do over here, like once or twice a year. And then like, it is, you know, whatever this is like. And we'll probably stop doing this, right? We're young, we're in our 20s, we're going to do it for now. But then like, you know, we're going to settle down at some point. And that just like, I don't even know what settling down means. Like I'm doing air quotes because I think about the way I thought when I was younger. And I just kept trying to, I think like put things in this like neat little place where I could label them and compartmentalize them, but that's not what happened. It just kept evolving to us like dating other people on our own, you know, going to events separately, going to things together, us like actually falling in love with another person who we were both dating at the same time. And so over the last 8 years, it's just evolved into like a very interesting, unique dynamic. And yeah, about almost a year ago, well, October will be a year, I launched a podcast after sort of coming out publicly about this because it was very private for a long time. I didn't want anyone to know. But when I met Lauren and she became such a big part of our lives, I was like, well, I can't really hide this. This is like, this isn't something that like people aren't going to know about, you know? And I want them to know. It was like sort of, I think, crossing over into a different version of this relationship where I was super proud of it. And I wanted to like share my love for her and like celebrate my love for her. And I wanted people to sort of know what's possible. Like you can actually have it all. If you want it all, you can have it all. And so, yeah, I started Open Late Podcast in October just as a way to share a different type of relationship perspective with people and show them, you know, that it's not always easy. Like we've definitely had some hard times and some challenges, but it's been so worth it. And the amount of love that's possible when you don't limit yourself and you're willing to do like the work on yourself is just infinite. Like we're not, actually capped in that area at all. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a big overview, but
damn, I don't know about Jill, but I'm like, I feel like I could just listen to you talk forever because you just seem so calm and passionate and just like, this is me. Oh, take it or leave it. And I love it. And I love that you kind of like had this accidental threesome and it was like your permission slip, because that's what we do at Wildly Balanced, is like showing the non-traditional and like giving people permission slips to like do what they want, you know? And that was your accidental threesome was like, oh shit, can I like do this again?
Yeah.
Do I have permission to like do this again?
It totally was. It was that exactly, a permission slip that I didn't even know that I wanted, that was like granted to me. Yeah. So I'm an open book. You can ask me anything about this.
No, I think it's so interesting. And I feel like, yes, I agree that I could listen to you talk about it forever, because like you do have such a passion behind it and like just so interesting. And I feel like I want to ask like 100,000 questions, but just more like curiosity. But no, I think it is interesting how, you know, being open with your partner is like such an important thing. But like, I think for me, and to kind of like tie it into like, you know, we talk about balance, like, how do you feel like you balance everything in the relationship? Because I feel like time, attention, like all of that can be like really difficult to manage, and with one partner and like your friends, let alone multiple partners in your life, you know? So just like super curious how you do that.
Yeah, it's such a good question, because it reminds me, people always assume that like that love is sort of like this finite resource, kind of how I said earlier, like there is no limit. And it's not true. You can have like so much love in your life, there's no limit to it. The only limits we have are on our time, right? And our energy. And so it is something that I think about a lot. Like, you know, it takes a lot of work to have one partner, even, you know, I'll be married 8 years in 2 weeks. And even that relationship on its own takes work. You know, it takes us being intentional with our time, putting date nights on the calendar, making sure that like, you know, we have enough energy for each other. And even like, as you get older, you know, or at least in my experience, I think, and a lot of other people can agree, like even making sure you have enough energy to like have sex and be intimate, right? Like we always kind of laugh, because sometimes if we have like a later dinner on the calendar and I know it's like a date night, I'm like, no, we're having sex before dinner, because I just know like what's going to happen after we eat and then drive home, or like, you know, if we eat and go to a show or something. And so even just have one relationship takes that level of care, thought, preparation, all of it, right? Scheduling. And so to balance two is quite an art form, I think. And the interesting thing for me is Lauren and I work together. So not only do I balance like both of my relationships, but within my partnership with Lauren, we have to balance our work and our, you know, our relationship. And we also have a friendship in there. I think being both women, we have like lots of different dynamics in how we relate to one another. And so for me, I think having a relationship with, you know, one male partner and one female partner, there's balance there, because there's like the masculine and the feminine. And, you know, Pasha's like been open about this on my podcast. You know, I think it would be a lot of work for him, and he's not sure how he would feel if I had like another male partner, right? I have like definitely relationships with other men, and like, you know, I've been going on dates or like developing something, but not like full-time. They're not like a partner in my life. Like Lauren is like a life partner. So just like a little side note there, the fact that it's like him and her, I think he's really comfortable with sharing that time and that energy that I have with her. So I'm fortunate in that way that like, okay, this works out for everybody. Like we have this balance in between all of us. And so I try to remember like that she and I work together. So I'll make sure like that we have time, we have date nights. We're not always great at it, but we did just go to Iceland together for a week, which was really great. So even like vacations, you know, making sure that like we put that energy into each other. And to be realistic, like it's not always going to be, you know, because we're really busy people. Like we run a business together, and then I have like a separate business and she has a separate business. So we're not always perfect at it, but the fact that I think we even understand the amount of intention that it takes has us like orient ourselves in that way of like, okay, like let's check in with our relationship first and just making sure we always greet each other that way before like we would start work. Lauren's actually taught me a lot because I can be very direct and I can be a little bit even detached in my emotions. And it's interesting because Lauren and Pasha are both Pisces and they like need a lot of emotional connection and attention and like physical affection. And so she reminded me very gently in our relationship that I'm not allowed to text her first thing in the morning with like work. It has to be like a hello, good morning, how are you? I love you, something in that realm, like emojis before I can like launch into the work stuff, right? So even that little level of balance has taught me a lot about having that in my own life. It's like, great, where I do that with myself all the time. That's not cool. I should like take care of myself in the morning and have a morning routine. And, you know, being in these both in these relationships have taught me a lot about how to take care of myself even better, which is even more balance. I mean, I think the interesting thing about balance is it's never like 50-50. You're never here, right? You're always like swinging in one way or another way and like trying to bring it back to center, but it's not. And so if I spend a lot of time, you know, doing one thing, going in one realm, like if Lauren and I have like a full week women's retreat, right? And then we come back from that, I know that I'll need to like create more time and energy for Pasha or for myself. And so it's just a constant recalibration and checking in and things like that. But I feel really lucky because they both get along like so well. They're, you know, best friends, they're like family on their own. And so they're appreciative of one another and kind of, I guess, like help keep the plate spinning for me, if that makes sense.
That's so beautiful. I love how you talked on like how you and Lauren have a friendship and a relationship. So it's not just one or the other. Like you really need to prioritize both. And like, I feel like that happens a lot, even with monogamous relationships of like, you forget that you're also best friends and you don't nurture that. And then it doesn't, you know, it ends badly for everybody.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like Lauren's dating, you know, Lauren dates other people. She and I, like, I mean, as much as we love each other and, you know, we're like, we had fallen in love and we have all these different dynamics to our relationship, right? At the end of the day, she still very much wants a male partner. Like what we have is so beautiful and it's like this cherry on top of our lives, but she still wants to, you know, meet, you know, her person and like fall in love with a man and have a family. And so when she's dating, I get to like be a best friend to her. I get to like support her in that and show up for her that way, you know? And so, yeah, I really do get to be intentional about like, okay, what relationship dynamic do I want to like focus on right now? Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Something that is like, I'm curious about, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, is does jealousy ever come up? Or like, how do you work through the jealousy that comes up?
Yeah, it's few and far in between now, I think, because I've been practicing for so long. And I always like, I tell my listeners too of my show, it's like, you're getting the 8 years of work, like done product, you know? So most people who are listening, who might be curious about this, or who might be like, I want to like maybe be monogamous. Like I want to be with this person forever all the time, but like, you know, a hall pass once a year doesn't sound like a bad idea, right? And you're like in those tiny little baby steps of wanting to open up. When I was there, jealousy for sure came up. And being in like the work that I was in at the time too, I mean, I had just started, you know, getting into like personal development and coaching. I think I had been a coach maybe for a year or two when we actually opened up, maybe like just the first year. And so I was already learning how to become a master of my emotions, right? Emotional mastery is something that I'm always striving for and always like learning, you know, more and more about myself and how to allow my emotions to be and feel them and process them and pass them. Because emotions, they're really meant to move through us, to like come in and leave. They're not meant to be like permanent residents. When that happens in our body, we create stagnant energy or like stale energy that gets stuck. And then that creates like physical ailments, right? That's how all the trauma happens to like stay in our body. So I think already being aware of like, that's what is supposed to happen. I think I was really aware, is like the best word I can use again, of like jealousy. And as much as I wanted to resist it and avoid it, I was like, this is coming up for a reason, because this is the time to work through it, or else it wouldn't be showing up in my life. There wouldn't be like a cause for it. And I've always believed that like whatever is coming into your life, you're meant to work on it in that moment rather than shove it to the side. Or I don't want to put myself in situations where I'm going to feel that way. I've always been like, no, let's like do this head on. So when jealousy would come up, for example, like maybe Pasha would go on a trip, and sometimes it would be like a boys trip or whatever. And we had like previously discussed, because back in the day we would like discuss everything. Okay, you're going to hook up with somebody on this trip. And he's like, I don't know. Like if the opportunity arises, I would like to. And then it'd be like, okay, now that I know that that might happen, I'm going to like get myself ready for like the idea that this might happen. You know, we talked about everything before it would happen, and we would talk about our boundaries and create agreements based on like a case by case basis, which is very different than the type of open relationship we practice now. It's very much like we already know all that. And so we live our lives and we share everything. We don't keep anything a secret from one another, but we definitely don't have to discuss everything before it happens. So back in those days, I would have jealousy come up about things like that, for example, and I would just let myself sit with it, and I would process it by way of like just feeling it and journaling about it, or like doing some breath work or going to a yoga class and having like that be my intention. Like I'm going to move this jealousy through my body, or I'm going to ask myself, what is underneath this jealousy? Like, what is it actually making me feel like? Is it making me worry that he's going to leave? Like that he likes somebody more than me, that I'm not good enough? You know, is that why like he wants to, you know, like be with somebody else, like even for a night, or like have a fling? What is that all about? And I would like think about these times in my past where I did feel like, you know, somebody would leave me, or like, you know, I would get broken up with, and I knew it was like for a different person, or like cheating or whatever. And so it had me going in and sort of excavating all this old stuff to heal it, and then checking back in with Pasha and getting like the reassurance that, okay, this isn't going to happen, and reminding myself that we're doing this actually because there's so much enjoyment in it for me as well. Like I actually, when I could move through the jealousy, and a lot of times I didn't even need to move through, it was like at the same time, I could like hold both emotions. I'd be like jealous, but I would also be really excited and really turned on. And so to notice that I could be like all of these things at once, you know, I could like have anxiety, but I could also be like super curious, and I would like want to know what's happening. And I'd be like, tell me more about it. And then I would like masturbate. So I like knew that there was something to it. And like a lot of, you know, therapists and researchers who are in the space of like human sexuality or relationships, like Esther Perel, they talk about like the secret sauce of jealousy. The jealousy actually is like one of the most potent emotions for creating desire. And so I was like learning how to master that and move through it. And so it comes up like way less now, but I would say to anyone who's like, I want to try this, but I'm so afraid that my jealousy is going to get the best of me. If you can actually sit with that emotion and process it, you're going to be so much better off for it, because even in monogamous relationships, people experience jealousy all the time. And you know, they would maybe never consider opening because they don't want to brush up against that uncomfortable emotion, but it's actually already there. And if you have emotions there that you're not really willing to work on, it's likely that they're actually playing a big role in all the choices you make anyway, and in how you live your life. And so I don't think like open relationships are for everyone. I always say that, like, it really takes a certain kind of person. And I think that like, monogamy is not for everybody. They're neither of them are one size fits all. And so just for people to realize that just because you're not in an open relationship doesn't mean that you're probably not feeling like some type of jealousy, even in your monogamous one.
That's such a juicy reframe.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to try an open relationship to work on your jealousy. That's the cool thing. It's like just kind of like leaning into those uncomfortable things, because there's so many versions of a relationship. You know, I actually created a dictionary for the open late community, and it's like a free downloadable dictionary that I'll give you guys a link to it. So you can like put it in your show notes if people want it, but it's like a dictionary of terms, and it goes through like all the different kinds of open relationships or polyamorous, or what a metamour is, you know, what swinging actually means, like all of these terms that you hear and you're like, I don't know the difference between any of this. Cause a lot of times people are like, oh my God, I can't believe like you do polygamy. I could never do that. And I'm like, polygamy is not what I do. Polygamy is like when one man has like five wives. That's not what's happening here. That's, you know, happens all over the world. But so the dictionary is a cool resource, because I think it can help people who don't have any intention of being open, but might want to do something a little bit more adventurous, see that there's like these little stepping stones that you could really like spice up your relationship with that aren't even, you know, like fully open, which is like what I practice now with polyamory.
That's so interesting. I feel like I need to download it, because they all sound like, I always thought they all meant the same thing.
But no, they're all so different. It's nuanced, right? There's like these little differences. It's almost like a spectrum, right? And like, you know, monogamy is over here. And I think like polyamory, or actually relationship anarchy, is probably like the relationship anarchists are people who want nothing to do with any kind of traditional container of any sort, but they believe that like love and connection should be possible and should happen without labels and without moving into any kind of like hierarchy. So like no marriage or no whatever. They can date like multiple people at once without having like, you know, attachments, or like, this is my main partner and these are like my, you know, side, really, there's like none of that. So I think that like along the spectrum, there's just so many different ways to practice versions of, you know, monogamy or non-monogamy that people likely don't know about. And so maybe that's why they never try. So yeah. And the dictionary is illustrated, which is cool, with like stick figures. So My friend Madison, who's like an incredible artist, she's like a really great artist. It's so funny that we decided on like stick figures, which feels like super easy and like anybody could do it. But we thought it was like a cute way to demonstrate all of these things. So then you have these little like stick figure illustrations, like acting out the different things. So like, you know, it acts out like, okay, here's what like a threesome is, or like a throuple, like a triad, like all of that. So
that's so fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Thank you so much for just dropping your wisdom bombs today.
Yeah.
It's been a really juicy episode.
Thank you.
And I feel like it's not just juicy for like people who are like thinking or like wanting this permission slip to be open, but just like good reframes for just anybody, really, especially about like the jealousy and all that. It's so interesting. And like, everybody could be a little more open.
Yeah. Well, I don't, if you don't mind me asking, I don't know either of your relationships very well, but have you ever like thought about or tried or anything in open relationship world?
Oh my God. What if my mom's listening?
Okay. Then you don't have to.
I'm just kidding. Chad and I, like, we've kind of been like thinking about it, but it's like, I have no idea where to start even. And I think a lot of it is like to sit with the jealousy and like work through that first, because that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know,
an interesting place to start, and I'll just like share this, is watching each other flirt with other people and to see how that makes you feel. So the crazy thing is, Pasha and I, like, we always say we're going to do this and we never do it. So I've obviously seen him flirt with other people before, but we've never like gone to like a bar together. And it's so funny, because like, we just never go out for cocktails unless we're like with friends or like we have an event or something. But we're like, we're just going to go to the bar on Friday night and we're just going to pretend we're friends and we're going to like talk to other people and like flirt and this and that, because the idea of that gets us both so excited, but we never do it. So I would say, like, if you are like, we just want to see how this is. A lot of people think that you have to like jump in the deep end of the pool and like sleep with somebody else. And then like, we'll unpack that and see how it makes us feel. Like, don't do that. Just like, you know, go somewhere that feels like really low pressure, where maybe like you wouldn't know anybody anyway. And like, see what it feels like for him to like go up to another girl and like strike up a conversation and like what that feels like in your body. And then that's like, that's all it is. Like maybe he buys her a drink or something. And then like, you know, after they have a conversation, like comes back and you guys like get to talk about whatever that is. And then vice versa. I always think that's like a good test and kind of indicator of if people want to like take it one step further. But there's a really good book called The Ethical Slut, which was written by, have you guys heard of this book? Such a good book. Two women who have been practicing like non-monogamy for 30 years. And they talk about like, just do like the like least scary thing, like put a bunch of stuff on the list of like what we're interested in trying and pick like the most low risk thing and just do that thing and cross that thing off the list. And maybe do that thing 5 times before you like move into the next one. And I always thought that was such good advice. You know, we didn't follow it because ours was a complete accident before I ever even heard of that book or any book about non-monogamy ever. Back when, if you told me I would be in an open relationship, I'd be like, you're bananas. Those people are, you know, crazy hippie swingers and I'll never be one of them. Like
I'm not sister wives.
Exactly. Exactly. And now I'm like, wow, I could never be monogamous ever. I don't think I ever could again. But yeah, I think there's a ton of great resources out there and the dictionary is like a fun one. So
that's so interesting. Thanks so much for the tips.
Yeah.
So cool. I love that too. Cause my first response is like, not even a little bit. Like I'd be too jealous. And it's like, damn, I got some shit to unpack there.
That's what I was thinking too. Cause I was like, yeah, no, the jealousy. Cause like even the jealousy I had when Jerry and I were just like dating, I don't think I could. So I'd have to unpack a lot of stuff. But I heard of that book because I had a friend, and this is why like I get nervous too, but like I love hearing your perspective of it because I feel like it definitely is like a better one. And it sounds like a lot of communication went through, like a lot of this is like huge on communication. But my friend, like him and his partner, they had a threesome and then they had more threesomes and then it turned into cheating. And then like they wanted to be open and like it was just a lot. And I was like, I feel like he was using like open relationship to like make himself feel better about the fact that it wasn't that either, just like based on like everything that he was going through. But I mean, he's in a whole different relationship now and like so much happier and I'm like happy for him. But I like, so I was always thinking about that too. Cause like, when does it turn and like, how do you keep it in like a positive, not reframe, but like a positive setting. But like you were saying, like a lot of it is just really talking and communicating with your partner and knowing like what you need. And I like how you said too, like just like taking the baby steps into it. Like, you know, if you are talking about it, but then like, yeah, even just flirting at the bar. But yeah, I think my jealousy would just like really get to me on that one. So I definitely have, like Carly said, a lot to unpack with that. Cause yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's something that not many people will ever do just because our society doesn't even like really teach that should be a motive, right? To like excavate these uncomfortable emotions. It's not common. So it makes a lot of sense that like people don't do it. They don't explore it. And when people do it, it's seen as like so other or taboo or strange. But I think like the interesting thing is, I mean, and I live in LA, so I live in like such a bubble, but like everybody here is like trying out open relationships. Like you can't open up a dating app without seeing like tons of people now like interested in non-monogamy all the time. And that was not like the way, you know, even 8 years ago, like when I started, I remember like, even if I just like, well, first of all, I was always so scared to have like an account on like Tinder or Bumble or whatever, because I'm like, oh, somebody's going to see, you know, when we first like kind of tried to date other people. And then we found an app that's like specifically for people who want to like, and it was pretty discreet back then. It was called Thrinder. Now it's called Field. But I think that even in other parts of the world, like this is sort of becoming, you know, it's trending. It's like becoming way less taboo and people are talking about it a lot. Like the increase of the, even like searching on Google, like non-monogamy has gone up like, I don't know, like 700% or something in the last like 4 years. But yeah. Yeah. So here I am with a podcast about it when I thought I would never even be public about it.
And I think it's like, it's cool because like what you were saying, like we talk about monogamy. It's like the thing, but I remember reading or listening or somewhere like learned about too, but it's like, it's very like, we're the only species that like practices monogamy in a way that like a lot of people don't, like a lot of not people, but like animal, like we're not meant to be, like we just like put ourselves in this like, you know, toehold of like we gotta have one person and that's it and you love them forever. And like even when like before, you know, when divorce was even frowned upon before, like you couldn't even do that, like, you know, we focus so much on one person when it's like that's not even natural, really. Like you're not, yeah. Who are you to like, you know, put your love into, like you were saying, like at the beginning of like your love isn't conditional. Like you have so much to give. Like it's not meant to be for only one person and one thing, you know, at a time.
Yeah. I think, wow, everything that you're saying is like the stuff that I talk about a lot on my show. And it's so right. It's like, it's so true. Marriage was created as like a social construct to pass wealth and property, like through families, and to like protect family wealth, which is why like many marriages were arranged. It wasn't like love, like wasn't even a thought for people. It wasn't, people didn't marry for that reason. And previous to like that becoming a thing, a lot through, like I said, you know, it was like this socioeconomic thing. It was a religious thing as well. And a very political thing previous to all that. So, you know, taking it back like 500 years, like 800 years, people really did just live and breathe like non-monogamy. And it was the norm. People just sort of were with who they were with. And there was like nothing about it. And there's still actually some societies and some cultures on our planet that actually still practice that. Not many, but even infidelity, what we think of as infidelity in a lot of cultures is the norm, but it's not even seen as like cheating. It's almost like this very accepted thing that after you're together for a certain amount of time, that like to have sexual relationships outside of your marriage is like, okay. Actually, in a lot of like South American cultures, some European, many African tribes practice this. And there's also a really amazing book called Untrue by Dr. Wednesday Martin that I love so much. I've like cited it so much. It's basically everything that you've ever learned about female sexuality is untrue. And it goes back like through history. She's just an incredible researcher and puts together all the pieces of how we stem from, you know, we stem from primates, right? These certain type of animals like bonobos, who were a very matriarchal, you know, type of society on their own. And that women would sort of be with as many, like the females would be with as many as of the males as possible to actually like just increase the likelihood that their offspring would survive, because nobody could tell like whose they were. And so all of the men then in all of the like, you know, group would take care of like all of the women and their children. And so it was actually a way to like engineer the survival of like the entire group. And so like, that's what a lot of scientists and researchers now believe that like we come from, you know? And so to think that people always say like, oh, it's just so unnatural. And it's like, no, actually monogamy is unnatural. And biologically, it makes no sense. Like a lot of things in our society, they make no sense. The fact that like women are only fertile like 4 days a month, but we're the ones who have to like take birth control, and men are fertile 24/7. Yeah, like, and there's like no birth control for men. I mean, there is, but it's just like not a thing. It's just wild. There's so many things that are backwards.
Preach.
Yeah.
It's like, why shoot at a bulletproof vest when you can just unload a gun?
Yeah. I love that. Have you like made that a meme? Because it needs to be, that has to be like a quote. I'm writing it this down before.
Feel free to steal it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's so true. I love that so much. I know you've touched on quite a few unpopular opinions, but one of the things we like to do with the guest episodes is we just want to hear your juiciest unpopular opinion about like polyamory and the monogamy lifestyle. Like, tell us, offend some people.
Oh, I love this. Okay. my
Jesus. Offend everybody, as many people as you can. That's our goal.
My juiciest unpopular opinion. Oh, okay. Well, so this isn't really like, it's not like I came up with this, right? But there is a big thing sort of, there's this proposal that came about recently and I saw it. So I'm going to credit it to Dr. Zana because she, follow her on Instagram. She's amazing. She posted essentially that like infidelity is a form of non-monogamy. And the sooner that we can like accept that that is, the sooner that we can heal as a society and like maybe infidelity won't be such a like widespread thing. And I agree with that 1000%. And there's a lot of people in the like non-monogamy space who don't, and they're like, cheating is not, you know, ethical non-monogamy. And like, we don't have to like, you know, take that whole group of people on into like our label or like our realm under our wing, whatever. And it's like, they're thinking about it like that is actually, I think, really backwards and kind of helping people understand who are like very resistant to the idea of non-monogamy. Like non-monogamy is weird. Polyamory is super weird. You know, like this is some sister wives thing and like very, very against it. But they're the same people who will end up like cheating on their partner, you know, or having infidelity or having these external emotional relationships that they're not honest about and just like not being honest about who they are. But if they could understand that they're just actually practicing non-monogamy, it's just not consensual. It's not like an ethical version of it. Then I think that starting to accept the norm of non-monogamy would bridge this gap. Like it would bring society so much closer to like understanding one another. Because the thing is like people who cheat aren't bad people. I mean, that's also like a very unpopular opinion. Like, I think that it's awful. I think that like when you're crossing somebody's boundaries and hurting people, like, you know, you definitely deserve to understand that and to make amends. And, you know, at the end of the day, like you're still hurting people, but they're just unwilling to accept the fact that they aren't good at monogamy. Just be honest about that. And to open up to the fact that like you could live a non-monogamous lifestyle and then hurt nobody. Because there's so many people out there who are never going to be able to be monogamous, unfortunately, because it's just not in their nature. And if they end up doing it, they'll likely be living a life of like, you know, expressing themselves maybe only 50% of like what they could and like how fully they could live and like how much they could feel, right? And I know it sounds like I'm like, oh, you know, everybody should be open. I really don't believe that because I don't think that everybody has the capacity to hold and to do the work that it takes to be in these relationships in a healthy way. But I think that a lot more people than what you see practicing it could be and could be really fulfilled by it. And so that's like my unpopular opinion.
I love it. Carly, you can love it too if you want to say something.
I do love it.
No, I think it is. I like the reframe and like, you know, thinking about it in like a non-monogamy way. When you say like thinking about cheating in that way, you know, it is like unethical non-monogamy because you're crossing those boundaries, like you said, but it would start to like bridge that gap of like, where we're like, monogamy is the only way. And like, you think of non-monogamy as these like little island of people that are like weird, you know what I mean? Like not, you know what I mean? People don't think of them in a better way or whatnot, but I think that is so interesting. But I mean, I know we're like, we've talked about so much, and if you guys want to learn more, you can obviously go listen to Jess's podcast because she has a lot of great things to say, but we also do our permission slips every week. So I'll give you some time to think because I'll always start with Carly because she knows it's coming, but she's got to be on the spotlight first. So Carly, what's your permission slip for the week?
I always know it's coming and I'm never ready, ever, but it's fine. Permission this week is permission to have a threesome. I'm just kidding. Permission to. Yeah, Jess is dancing.
Like, she's like, yeah, do it, girl.
Have that threesome.
Woo, permission to, I think communication is a thing that's coming up a lot this week, especially in just like every aspect of my life. And I feel like communication is like a really good thing that I have to sit with more and just like figure out, because I've always kind of dabbled with the idea of like being more open kind of thing and what that would mean to me and what that would mean to my relationship. So just kind of sitting with that and sitting with the jealousy and seeing how I can incorporate more openness into my life, because life's too short to only have one partner, you know?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to Jill next. Jill, what is your permission slip say this week?
Yeah, I think mine is to, I think, sit and explore that jealousy thing. Because like you said, how it can be like that secret sauce for your relationship too. But I think like seeing where it really lies for me and just like continue to, I feel like I'm really good about, like me and Jay are good about communicating. I probably over communicate things, but I feel like it's necessary sometimes. But I think just continue to like really be open and honest with your partner is so important. And so, but I think the jealousy thing, it just really made me think about like how it impacts your relationship and like good and bad, but like really letting it figure out how to like really turn it into like the better thing, like into a better way of impacting your relationship, not to be like negative. Cause I feel like jealousy is one of those like negative emotions. And like, I love the way you talked about it and how it like doesn't have to be. And it can be something that like you can sit with and like even use it to like, you know, really enhance your relationship. And I think that's awesome too. So then it goes to you, Jess. What does your permission slip say?
Yay. I love this. And I really like both of yours. So I'm like, At first, when you said it, I was like thinking it would be a permission slip I would give to everybody listening. So then I had this thing and then I'm like, no, wait, this is supposed to be for me, judging, like telling.
You can do both. You can give our listeners their permission slip and then you can give yourself a permission slip. I like
okay,
that.
Cool. So my initial thought, as soon as you were like permission slip before you even started, Carly, I was like, oh, I have it. I would love to give everybody permission to be honest about their attractions. So I think that a really basic place to start in these types of, you know, stepping into like trying out non-monogamy, like as we talked about earlier, is like, just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean you stop being attracted to other people. And I think the denial that we are, just because we don't want to upset a partner or make a partner jealous or feel less than, kind of like erodes away our own personal integrity. Cause it's like these micro omissions of the truth. So I think like a really healthy thing to do is like, wow, that's a really hot guy, or like, it's a really hot girl, you know, whatever it is, just to like acknowledge it, that that's truth. Cause you're feeling it in your body. So then it's like, you're accepting like what you're feeling. So that's for everybody else. And for myself. Okay. So I'm going to give myself permission to share more publicly, even though it feels like I do that very, you know, a lot, but I hold back on the internet about like everything. For me is like coaching and personal development. So I'm like really comfortable talking about open relationships in that realm, but I'm not so comfortable with like talking about sex itself online. So I've come a long way. Obviously I talk about sex on my podcast, but I'm always kind of censoring myself because I'm like, God, you know, I still have that like internalized shame and like, you know, whatever else it is, like a little bit of internalized misogyny almost of like, oh, that's not like a woman, you know, like I have that voice that's like, oh, like that's not ladylike to say that. And then I'm like, girl, like we've done so much work. We don't need that voice. So yeah, I'm going to give myself permission to talk about sex more openly and unapologetically.
Yes, those are both so good.
Yeah.
So juicy, so good. And I love them so much. It's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast this week. And I'm so glad that we made this work. Because I know we had to reschedule a couple times, but
yes,
we're here. Me too. We did it. And everything that Jessica talked about, all the books, all her Open Late Dictionary, her podcast, all of her links, we're going to put in the show notes. So if anyone's interested, check them out.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
So much fun. Thank you for just like opening our eyes more and our listeners, because I feel like it is such a an important topic to talk about because, yeah, it just really is. So I appreciate you being here and sharing all of that.
Until next time.